Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
Well, it's so good to be here. It's so wonderful to have this opportunity to come before the Lord and to be in His presence. I'm thankful that we can do this. And we are going to open with a prayer before we do anything else. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this night, thanking Thee, O God, for Thy goodness towards us, for Thy mercy and Thy grace towards us, for Thy undeserved love towards us. And I pray, O God, that Thou would be here this night with us. We embrace Thy promises, for we know that Thou hast promised to be with us wherever two or three are gathered together. And we are so thankful, O God, for this knowledge and this understanding. I pray, O God, that Thou would preside over this entire service, lead and direct us in everything that we do. Let everything we do here tonight be done according to Thy perfect will, Thy perfect plan. We pray, O God, that Thy Spirit would be here, that Thy presence would be felt, that we would all be filled with the Holy Ghost. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, to the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are going to start with number 91 in the chorus book tonight, Without Him, number 91. Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I'd surely fail. Without Him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Lord Jesus, abide with me as I travel life's rugged sea, and make my life what it ought to be. Lord Jesus, abide with me. Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I'd surely fail. Without Him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Lord Jesus, abide with me as I travel life's rugged sea, and make my life what it ought to be. Lord Jesus, abide with me. Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I'd surely fail. Without Him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Lord Jesus, abide with me as I travel life's rugged sea, and make my life what it ought to be. Lord Jesus, abide with me. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Praise. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to turn now to number 84 in our chorus book and sing I Need Jesus, number 84. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I need Jesus every day. I need Him in the sunshine hour. I need Him when the storm clouds lower. Every day along life's way, I need Jesus. I need Jesus. Jesus every day. I need Him in the sunshine hour. I need Him when the storm clouds lower. Every day along life's way, I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I need Jesus every day. I need Him in the sunshine hour. I need Him when the storm clouds lower. Every day along life's way, I need Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Oh, yes, we need Him, and I am thankful to know that He has promised that He will never leave us nor forsake us. Praise God. Well, we're going to open our melodies of praise hymnals now, and we're going to go to number 163 and sing I Need Thee Every Hour. 163. I need Thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like Thine can peace afford. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to Thee. I need Thee every hour. Stay Thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when Thou art nigh. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to Thee. I need Thee every hour. In joy or pain, come quick quickly and abide, or life is vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour, most holy one. Oh, make me thine indeed, thou blessed Son. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Praise the Lord. It's such a wonderful thing that we can come to our Savior. Praise God. And we are going to turn now to number 323 and sing Just As I Am. Number 323. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fighting and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, poor wretched, blind, sight riches, healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve me. because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. Well, we're going to turn now to number 150 and sing Room at the Cross for You, number 150. The cross upon which Jesus died is a shelter in which we can hide, and its grace so free is sufficient for me, and deep is its fountain, as wide as the sea. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. Though millions have found him a friend and have turned from the sins they have sinned, the Savior still waits to open the gates and welcome a sinner before it's too late. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. The hand of my Savior is strong, and the love of my Savior is long. Through sunshine or rain, through loss or in gain, the blood flows from Calvary to cleanse every stain. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. If there's room at the cross for you. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. We are going to take up the collection now. Praise God. Father in heaven, we thank you this night for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank you, O God, for all that thou hast done for us, for thy love and thy care towards us. We thank you, O God, that thou hast kept us and sustained us for so many years, for we know that we would be completely lost and helpless without thee. And I pray, O God, that thy guiding hand would continue to be upon this ministry. Show us what we must do in the days ahead, for we know, O God, that the times are so uncertain, but we know that thou knowest all things. We know that everything is under thy control, and I pray, Lord, for thy inspiration and thy guidance. I pray, O God, that thou would give us the wisdom we need on how these funds should be used for thy purpose, for thy glory, for we know that these funds belong to thee. And I pray, O God, that thou would bless the givers here this night, and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, to the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are going to sing one more song before we turn this over to Shirley for the night. And we're going to go to number 294 in our hymnal and sing Victory in Jesus, number 294. Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and saw the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day, I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Praise the Lord. Thanks, Jesus. Praise you, God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we are going to turn this over to Shirley in just a moment, but we do have one thing we need to pray about before we do that. My mother-in-law, Linda, she lives in South Carolina, and a couple months back she had a detached retina, and she had to have surgery for that. And thankfully it's been getting better, but she now has a membrane that has grown over her eye, and her eye is quite blurry. Her vision is blurry, and she needs to have surgery again to have that repaired, but she can't have surgery yet because she has to undergo a cardiogram first. She has a heart murmur, and we're going to pray for her right now and just ask that the Lord would be with her and help her. She is also has a very high blood pressure right now, so we're going to pray for Linda right now. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this night on behalf of Linda, praying, O God, that thou art reached down from heaven and touch her with thy mighty hand. For we know, O God, that thou art our healer, our deliverer, our wonder-working God. We know that thou can do all things. We know that by thy stripes we are healed. And I pray that thou would touch Linda right now. Let her feel thy presence. Let her feel thy touch, O God, thy healing power. Let thy virtue flow. For we know, O God, that nothing is too hard for thee. We ask, O God, that all would be well. We ask, O God, for healing for her eyes. We ask, Lord, that her blood pressure would normalize. We ask that her heart murmur would be taken away, O God, miraculously. We pray that she would not even need this surgery. But we ask, O God, that if she should undergo these procedures, we pray that thou would guide the doctor's hands and give them great wisdom. For we know, O God, that we all need thee, including the medical profession. And I just pray, O God, that thou would be with Linda and help her and encourage her in her spirit, we pray. We ask this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to turn this over to Shirley, and she is going to lead us in a Bible study tonight. Praise God.
Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. I want to say it's very nice to see you folks. I'm so glad you came tonight. Do you live far?
Lowell.
Okay, so good to have you. It's some fog and some people didn't venture out tonight, but so glad you're here. Praise the Lord. Amen. Our God is so good. Oh, and it's a wonderful thing to come before Him and be able to be recipients of His blessings. And, you know, we're living in trying times. These are days like no other. And I know I've been proofreading some of the older newsletters from 1992, and you know, boy, those were perilous times back then. And, you know, we didn't know what to think back then. But I'll tell you what, things have not gotten better. We're seeing many, many things that rack the brain, and, you know, we can't really comprehend with our minds. But one thing we do know is that we serve a mighty God, and that in spite of the whims of man, that God is in charge. And He's overseeing everything. And we know that, you know, though people may think they're in power and have authority and all, we know that there's one that is above them. And He knows how to intervene. He knows how to direct. He knows when their days are over. And, you know, there are specific things that He leads them to do so that His will can be fulfilled. And we know it's all in God's hands. And, you know, that helps me so much. You know, we live in these times where, you know, like I said already, it's sometimes very hard to know what's going on and to determine even sometimes how to think. But praise the Lord, you know, we don't have to, you know everything. We know that we serve a mighty God and that there's nothing too hard for Him. And another thing that helps me so much is to know that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's God and He changes not. So praise the Lord, we can put our hope, our trust, our faith in Him. I thank God for that. Praise the Lord. We're going to pray as we begin here tonight. And I'd like to also lift up a dear friend in Michigan, too, that's going through a surgical procedure tomorrow. And asking God to be with John. So let's all pray here together as we begin here tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank You again for Thy love and Thy mercy, Thy compassions that fail not. Oh, Lord, Thy compassions that are new every morning. Oh, God, we can rest in them, Lord, and we can know, oh, Lord, that we can lean on Thy promises and know that they will not fail. And God, we just thank You, Lord. We're gathered here together, oh Lord, tonight, oh Lord, in Thy name, oh Lord, to seek Thee, and oh Lord, to look in Thy Word. I pray, oh Lord, that You'd be here, Lord. Oh God, that You let the light of Thy Word shine upon our hearts. Oh God, that You'd show us the things that we need to see. I pray, oh God, that You give us the discernment that we need in this very late time, Lord. And oh God, eyes that can see, oh Lord, ears that can hear, Lord, a mind that can perceive. We thank You, Jesus, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name that the strong man would be bound and all, Lord, everything that would come against to hinder. Oh Lord, I pray, oh Lord, that You give us, oh Lord, the directives that are coming from Thy Word. And oh Lord, that Thy will would be done, that You speak to our hearts, Lord. And I do bring John before Thee, Lord, and ask, oh Lord, that You would be with him, Lord, through that procedure tomorrow. And I pray that, oh Lord, You direct the doctor's hands, the surgeon's hands, and oh Lord, that there be no problems at all, Lord, but that You take him through this, oh God, and that You'd help him, Lord, and oh God, that he'd have the strong realization that Thou art with him, oh God, and likewise all Your people, Lord. You know the needs of all of our friends online, Lord, our brothers and sisters online, and I pray, oh Lord, oh God, that Your Spirit, oh Lord, would move in a very certain way, Lord, oh God, that we could sense Thy presence, and oh Lord, that we could feel that touch that comes from Thee, Lord. Oh God, for in Thy presence is fullness of joy, and at Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And we thank You, Jesus, for there is none like unto Thee. Oh Lord, there is no God but Thee. We thank You, Lord, oh God, for the word that You've given us. I pray that You speak through it tonight, Lord. Oh God, surely I do know that I could do nothing without You, Lord. I ask that You would direct this word in the name of Jesus. By the power of the blood, oh Lord, we do stand on Thy promises and rest in Thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank our God. Oh, praise the Lord. Our God is wonderful. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to go to one of the minor prophets here tonight. To begin, we're going to go to a little book, Zephaniah. And I've learned to just love these minor prophets. You know, there is so much in them. But if you'll turn there with me, I'm going to go to Zephaniah, the second chapter here, and just read a very few verses, as far as I'm planning anyway. Praise the Lord. Zephaniah, the second chapter. And we're going to call this message, Hid in the Day of the Lord's Anger. Hid in the Day of the Lord's Anger. Praise the Lord. Okay, this is Zephaniah, the second chapter. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It says in verse 1, Gather yourselves together, yea, gather together, O nation not desired. Before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Oh, we all know we were in the book of Joel last week, and we know from the writings in Joel that it talks about the very end scenario and the coming of the Lord, and you know this time period which draws nigh to us this very moment. And I'll tell you what, there in that third chapter of Joel, we read how, you know, there was that call together of all the nations. God was going to sift them as wheat, but he told them to come and assemble and to come together, to gather themselves together round about. And then, yes, he was going to cause his mighty ones to come down. And it's really something. He talked about the heathen being awakened and coming to the valley of Jehoshaphat. And I believe that would be parallel to what we call Armageddon in the book of Revelation. And then he talks about he's going to sit to judge all the heathen round about. And I'll tell you what, there's a lot to that because, you know, it's talking about this time. You know, Jesus Christ came the first time to seek and to save us from our sins. But he is coming a second time. And at that point, he is going to gather his elect together. But also, he is coming to judge this world in righteousness. And, you know, it's going to be like an end of everything that this world has known. And I'll tell you what, there is a call that's going forth at this very time, a call to repentance. And, you know, it tells us in the book of Joel, the time when it was time to put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe, to come get you down, for the press is full, the fats overflow, for the wickedness is great. That time of God's toleration is to the full, so that that cup of his wrath is ready to be poured out. And so he's talking about gathering in the harvest, putting in the sickle. And I do truly believe from the Word of God, we went to the 14th chapter of Revelation, we went to the 4th chapter of the book of Mark, and also, yes, we go to James, the 5th chapter, and verse 7. Oh yes, to realize that harvest, once it is full, the early and the latter rain have been received, that God will put in the sickle to reap this earth. And also, going with that is the great wickedness. We know that there was a time when God judged this world in the day of Noah. The wickedness was great at that moment. And you know, if Noah wouldn't have found grace in the eyes of the Lord, I believe it would have all been destroyed. But praise the Lord, there was one man and his family that found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And they were willing to listen to the voice of the Lord. God gives very specific instructions. And he told Noah exactly what to do, how to build that ark, and you know, how exactly, how to gather the gopher wood, and you know, how to put pitch on it, and how big to make it, and you know, every detail that was needed, God gave it to Noah. Because, oh yes, there was a need at the moment. Yes, the wickedness had come to the full, and God was ready to gather in those that were his. And praise the Lord, you know, it happened. It happened that day when, you know, God had them all go into that ark. All the animals had been gathered, all the food, all the necessary preparations had been fulfilled. And all at once it was over. As far as all those needs were concerned about getting ready, it was over, it was over. And they got into that ark, and God shut the door. God shut the door so that no more, no one could enter. There was no longer any such thing called time for them at all. And I can imagine, you know, when those people that had heard Noah preach, because we are told that he was a preacher of righteousness, but when they realized that it was really raining, something that had never happened before, when they realized it was really happening, you can imagine how they ran to that ark, how they tried to get into that ark, but God had shut the door. And it was no longer a possibility. And I'll tell you what, we know one thing too, these time periods that we live right now, that God has opened up a door of salvation. And praise the Lord, he's still calling us. You know, there's that call to repentance that we tug in our heart where we feel, you know, the Lord calling us to come to him, to give him our hearts, to serve him, to make our hearts right, to repent, to fall on our knees before God. And I thank God that we could do that. That door is still open, that door of salvation. But just as the door of the ark was closed one day, because God closed it, that door of salvation is also going to be closed one of these days. It's no longer going to be possible to come into that place of salvation. It's no longer going to be possible to draw nigh to God. But oh yes, you know, those that have come have come. And as it tells us in that third chapter of Joel, it speaks of multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. I feel like that's how it is right now. Oh, there's so many. They could go to the right or they could go to the left. You know, they're in that place where, you know, they have to decide in their heart who they're going to serve. They're going to listen to the voice of the living God and give their hearts to the Lord and repent and get right. Or are they going to go the way of the rest of the world? Oh, I tell you what, it's precarious out there. You know, the world is going on a wayward course. You know, things that were once known to be sin are now condoned in this world that we live in today. Oh, yes, there's not too many preachers that are preaching against sin anymore. No, they've allowed so many things come in. And I tell you what, it gets worse all the time. Because, you know, you think you've heard it all. You know, you think you've heard the very worst thing that you could ever hear. But it gets worse. It gets worse, and sometimes it's so bad, I can't repeat it. But here we are in this hour, and you know, it just is mind-boggling how people, you know, 20 years ago I think they would have known better. But they've accepted these things that are so blatantly wrong in the Word of God. They put their approval on it, and the preachers are going along with it. You know, and in mainstream is all that way. People's thinking has changed. But God has not changed. As we said already, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is God, and he changes not. And I'm so thankful, oh, that door of salvation is still open. But, you know, that day is coming when this earth is going to be reaped. That day of the Lord, which is drawing nigh, and it's so, wow, it's incumbent upon us. Oh yes, to serve the Lord, to get right with him now, while it is still day. And praise the Lord, you know, it talks about, you know, these end times, and it's throughout God's Word. And you know, I love it. I see it in the Old Testament. I see it in the New Testament. You know, and it talks about just, you know, the Lord is going to burst through those clouds and gather His people home. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. You know, it's going to happen. And all at once, it tells us in the book of Joel, the Lord shall roar out of Zion. All at once, He's coming. He's coming to receive His people. He's coming to judge this world in righteousness. He's going to utter His voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. But praise the Lord, there's something that is so beautiful among this thought. You know, in the midst of all of this, God has a people that He has reserved for Himself. He has a people that He's coming to receive. It says, but the Lord will be the hope of His people and the strength of the children of Israel. Praise the Lord will be the hope of His people. Oh, praise the Lord. It's, you know, they say it's darkest before the dawn. And so it is in the natural, but you know, in the spiritual realm, oh, it's dark out there now. And this, you know, we look at all the things that are upon this earth, but it could even get darker as the days go by. And how wise we would be to seek the Lord while He may be found, to call upon Him while He is near. You know, the need for the wicked to forsake their ways, and the unrighteous man to forsake his thoughts. Oh yes, that need to draw nigh to the Lord, as it tells us in the 55th chapter of Isaiah. And so here, it tells us here in the second chapter of Zephaniah, that need to get right before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you. And as that third verse says again, it says to seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought His judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Oh, I tell you what, we talk about the love of the Lord, and truly there is nothing greater than God Almighty had for us, that He would come to this earth, that He would put on flesh, knowing full well why He was coming. Knowing full well that He was going to have to die on a cross. Something that was an abomination. Something that was a curse. He was going to have to take the sins of the world upon Himself. Oh, I tell you what, there's no greater love than that. That which the Lord Jesus showed for us, you know. He came to save us. Oh, yes, we had no hope. We were without God, without hope in this world. And, you know, what were we going to do? But He made a way. He made a way so that we could come to Him in faith and believe and seek His face. And praise the Lord, you know, it's a wonderful thing. I love those responses. You know, I don't think there could be anything more beautiful than hearing somebody cry out, oh, in repentance and turning their heart over to God. I don't know that there's a more beautiful sound than that. Oh, the angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner that repenteth. Oh, yes, what a beautiful sound when, you know, the heart is made right through repentance. And praise the Lord, they were commanded to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sins, with the promise of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I'll tell you what, it's all a marvel. God's plan, you know, that He would take our sins, that He would wash them away so that we wouldn't have to stand before Him with sin. Because, you know, there's another point that a lot of people don't get. And that's, sin is not going to be able to stand before God. That's why we've got to come before Him now. You know, we've got to be clothed with His righteousness. Otherwise, you know, it tells us our own righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We're all as unclean thing. You know, we don't have anything to boast of ourselves. That's why when we come to the Lord, you know, He takes those filthy old sins from us. And then He begins to work on our heart and clothe us. He clothes us with His garment, His righteousness, so that one day we can stand before Him and you know, those sins, are washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, we went down to the waters of baptism for the remission of sin so that, you know, there was no more penalty for our sin. That sin had been paid for. And praise the Lord, we can all do that. In faith, God made a way so we can stand before Him, so we can seek Him while He may yet be found. And praise the Lord, you know, we're going to need that. We stand before Him because, like I said already, and people don't get this. People laugh at sin. You know, oh, I've been there, you know. I was in Minnesota one time buying, you know, an item or two, and you know, I was buying this container to put my food in, and you know, the man behind me, you know, just kind of, you know, I guess he thought he was funny, but you know, he asked me how many beers I was going to put in there, and you know, I'll tell you what. Well, I don't plan to put any beers in here ever. You know, people don't get it. You know, there's certain things that you give your life to the Lord, you just don't do anymore. He takes that desire away. You know, He cleans us up. He makes us, you know, new creatures in Christ Jesus. And, you know, we don't have to live in that pit anymore. We can be forgiven our sins and you walk with the Lord, and you know what it's like to have a clean heart before the Lord. He has to be clothed in His righteousness. And I praise the Lord, you know, we don't have to live in that filth, you know. And people don't get it because, you know, there's always a happiness. I remember in my old life, before I gave my heart to the Lord, how, you know, that sin was, that, you know, that thing that was down inside me, you know, I couldn't get rid of it myself. It was always there, you know. Oh, what a wonderful thing to give it to Jesus. Oh, what a wonderful thing to have that burn gone, you know. That burden of sin, to have it all gone. Praise the Lord, what a wonderful thing. And oh, just so glad that the Lord has had mercy. And I realized, you know, I didn't fully realize it the night He called me. It was a response to that call, you know. But praise the Lord, I see how I could not have done it of myself. It was the Lord that put it within me. It was the Lord who gave me faith. It was the Lord who made me want to run to that place of prayer so I could lay my burden down, that burden of sin, and get rid of it. Oh, praise the Lord. What a wonderful thing that is to give it over to the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But oh, how we need to be hid in Christ. And you know, oh, praise the Lord. When we come to the Lord, our life begins to be hid in Jesus Christ. He's the one that begins to change us. Praise the Lord. It tells us in Colossians, the third chapter. I really wasn't planning to go here, but we're going to go here. Colossians, the third chapter. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It says in verse 1, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." And, you know, as I just was saying, when we really give our life to the Lord, He makes us new persons in Christ Jesus. You know, old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. And that means the way that we think, our values, you know, the treasures that we have. You know, Jesus told us, you know, where our treasure is, that's where our heart will be also. And, you know, so many people hang on to the things of this world and value it highly. And that's what life is about to them, to seek the things, the pleasures of this world. But with Jesus Christ, there are other priorities. the spiritual realm becomes those things that matter to us. And praise the Lord, when he begins to work on our hearts, if we truly are risen with him. And it tells us in the second chapter of Colossians, verse 12, it's right across, it's on the same page as this third chapter, it says, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who has raised him from the dead. So praise the Lord, baptism is compared to a burial with Christ Jesus, identifying with him in the waters of baptism. And praise the Lord, not only that, but it's for the remission of sin, which means that those sins not only are forgiven, but they're remitted so that there is no longer any penalty for those sins at all. But praise the Lord, we are buried with him in baptism, and then we rise with him through the faith of the operation of God, that faith that, you know, as Jesus was raised from the dead, he also was going to raise our mortal body. And besides that, we are raised a spiritual person. You know, things begin to change in our lives. Like I said, those priorities and our, you know, the things that we hold dear all at once, you know, well, maybe not all at once. God makes a gradual work of us in many ways. You know, it's not always with a snap of a finger. No, he begins to change us, though. That process begins. And so it tells us, again, here in Colossians, the third chapter, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And the second verse says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. You know, Jesus said, you know, the things of this earth, you know, thieves can, they can rob, they can steal, you know, things can rust, they can corrupt, you know, there's, what in this world, you know, is so above, you know, corruption, or, you know, loss, or destruction, or whatever all, this world, I mean, things perish, we might, you know, our greatest little things might go up in a fire, in a flame, you know. They might get lost, they might get stolen. But praise the Lord, there's a city where the Lamb is the light. There's a place that God has prepared for those that love him. And, you know, that's where our heart needs to be. It tells us to set your affection on things above, not on things on earth. And then it explains, for ye are dead. And when it says that, it means that we die out to the old man, to the old ways. You know, repentance means a death. It means that, you know, the things that were, you know, big in our list in earlier times, we die out to those affections and those things. We become dead in that sense with Christ, so that this, the old values, the old way of life, all begin to vanish. And it says, your life is hid with Christ in God. Oh my, he makes a place for us. Oh, so our values, oh, emerge with those of the values of Jesus Christ. Oh yes, the Son of God, the one who came to this earth. Oh yes, to give us hope and to change us. Oh, yes, oh, that we might one day be changed from this vile creature that we are into his glorious image. And we don't know yet, you know, we don't know yet what we're going to be, but we know that when we see him, we're going to be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So it tells us in 1 John, and praise the Lord, it explains, you know, our life is hid with Christ in God. Oh, we find a hiding place, a sanctuary in God. Oh, the one who has redeemed us from this world of sin. You know, the one who can keep us as we walk this road of life. Oh, yes, the one that makes a way for us all through this wilderness, as long as we keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. And it explains in verse 4, with Christ, who is our lives, he becomes, you know, he's supposed to be first on our list. Really. And how many people put Christ first? How many people really seek him above everything else? I mean, usually, you know, oh yeah, a lot of people are you know, think they're Christians. And may go to church, but, you know, just because you go to church doesn't mean that you're Christian. You know, just because you bark doesn't mean that you're a dog. You know, but there's so many things, you know. The proof is in the life that we live, the fruit that we bring forth, what our real values are, you know, how we really think, you know, what the emphasis of our life is. And praise the Lord, we're supposed to seek the kingdom of God first, knowing that all these things shall be added unto us. We're supposed to make him number one in our lives. And praise the Lord, you know, until we get to that place, you know, we're not really surrendered to God. You know, there is a great need. A lot of people believe on Jesus Christ to an extent. But is there a surrender? Is a heart really given over to the Lord Jesus? Or is it, you know, maybe it's an intention, but in so many cases, and, you know, it comes out, you know, the way we talk, you know, the way we think, you know, the things that we do, it all expresses who we really are. And if we've really gotten to that place where we've surrendered our life to the Lord, we've really given it to him, you know. If our life is a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And, you know, if we're transformed by the renewing of our mind, you know, we're not to be conformed to this world, but rather we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And, you know, it's not going to come. You know, you can't ignore the scripture and, you know what the mind of Christ is. This book is the words of life. And, you know, the more we see in it, the more we put it together, the more we realize who Jesus is. And what he asks of us, what he requires of us. And, you know, it shows us how we to make our life a living sacrifice that's wholly acceptable unto God. And, you know, Paul wrote that is our reasonable service. Nothing less will really do. But so many people are living, you know, way beyond, below that. And then it begins to tell us, yes, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Oh, praise the Lord. He's going to come one of these days. And for sure, we want to be hid in Christ. You know, we want to be anchored in him. He is that rock of ages. And, you know, he is that anchor that is sure. And our roots have to go down so that we're formed in Christ, so that we're rooted in Christ. And then, yes, it explains, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him. Oh, he's going to come back. He's going to come back with his people, you know. He's going to call to the heavens from the earth, and yet the sound of the trumpet. Oh, yes, we know the dead in Christ shall rise first, but we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet him. Yes, in the air there, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Oh, yes, it's all going to come to a final end. And praise the Lord, if we've been anchored in the Lord, if we've been surrendered to the Lord, we're going to appear. He's going to bring those back that are with him in glory at this point. The rest of us are going to be caught up to meet him in the air. And then it explains in verse 5, the need to mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, and mortify, that means to kill, you know, these things, you know, that rise up in our beings, you know, these lusts that we all have, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of the pride of life. Those things are not of God. Those things are the things that we have to be, that we have to crucify, that we have to put down, we have to mortify, kill, in other words here. So it says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. It names some of the things here. It says fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. I'll tell you what, we're living in a very lustful world. So many things have been accepted that are truly abominations in the sight of God. It just goes from bad to worse. You know, we've seen it. These last years we've seen, oh yes, things embraced. Homosexuality, same-sex marriage, divorce, remarriage. So many things that are wrong in the eyes of God have been accepted in the eyes of man. But here we're told that these things need to be mortified. Fornication, uncleanness, and oh, there's so many matters of uncleanness in this world. And, you know, you see it. You can hardly sometimes, you know, open up, you know, a website or something. You know, you have all these things on the side and all these pop-ups and everything else. And, you know, it's all abominable in God's eyes, almost all of it, so much of it, you know. But that's where we are. Things that are disgraceful, things that should make us blush. But again, this world, they no longer know right from wrong. And woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. They put light for darkness and darkness for light, bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them. And I'll tell you what, when you no longer know right from wrong, you've been given over to a reprobate mind. A mind that no longer knows, that's a terrible position to be in. And I'll tell you what, that first chapter of Romans talks about people who are reprobate, that God has given over to a reprobate mind that no longer knows right from wrong. And I'll tell you what, you never want to get into that kind of position. You never want to be so far from God that you no longer know, you know, and I don't believe, you know, it comes just with the snap of the finger either. It's people that have laughed and mocked at God's word and ignored it and ran over it and, you know, not given their hearts to it, despising what has been written. And I'll tell you what, there's a lot of that in this world. And getting more and more so. For we do know that evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But here it talks about all these unclean things, inordinate affection. Oh, it covers a lot of area. Evil concupiscence, which again is evil desires, fleshly desires, and covetousness. And you know, I thank God. You know, we sang that song tonight. We come to Him as we are. The past is the past. We can't do anything about it. But praise the Lord, there is one who can wash us clean and give us a clean slate so that we can start over and all things can be changed in our life. Oh, praise the Lord. We were all out there. We were all away from Christ. You know, there was none that doeth good. No, not one. And already all our, you know, unrighteous, all our own so-called righteousnesses are nothing but filthy rags in the eyes of God. But praise the Lord, He made a way so that we could come to us, even, you know, the vilest of sinners. You know, Paul, who was Saul of Tarsus, he didn't have too much to, you know, love from his past, did he? I mean, oh yes, he had that position, you know. He was high up, I believe, on the Sanhedrin courts, and, you know, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, and, you know, taught highly and knew much of the law. But he didn't know Jesus till he was called on that road to Damascus, until the Lord got his attention. And, you know, he thought he was doing Godspeed. He thought he was doing good by persecuting the Christians. Oh, I tell you what remorse that must have been. What heaviness that must have been when he realized that Jesus was actually God, the one that he was persecuting. Oh, yes, and oh, those things that he had done. But I'll tell you what, that man had a zeal. Oh, yes, he had a zeal. You know, he preached to everyone, it seems like, after that point when God got a hold of him. Oh, yes, he became that missionary to the Gentiles. And oh, I'll tell you what, all the known world of Asia heard the gospel somehow. Oh, praise the Lord. There was a voice that spoke. The zeal of the Lord took over in that man. I'm sure he always had that tremendous remorse for the things in his past. But praise the Lord can take that and turn everything around for his name's sake and for his glory. And you know, I think often, you know, the founder of this church, Pastor Meyer, he'd been in the occult. Oh yes, when he lived in Clintonville in his youth, even as a teenager, he was an astrologer. And you know, he convinced many people to listen to him. He had his charts, he would write them out, and you know, he would, you know, give them out, and you know, talk to whosoever would listen. And I'll tell you what, you know, there was always that feeling in his heart that he had done a lot of damage. At that point, you know, he would sit on the steps as a young man and invite evil spirits to come into his being. Oh, his grandmother had been a witch. Oh, he had had ancestry in that past. But praise the Lord, you know, there's nothing too hard for God. God can take our slate and wash it clean. Oh yes, he can make us whole by the blood of Jesus Christ. And you know, oh, I tell you what, I have been going over some of those older newsletters, and believe me, he's telling the things from his past. How God used David Meyer, oh yes, to, you know, tell us things that so many of us would have never have known. And also to reveal many of the things that had been kept secret by those that didn't want it disclosed. But praise the Lord takes our past and he begins to turn it around, and you know, he uses it for his name's sake and for his glory. And what a story, you know. I hear from people all the time that they talk about what a difference this ministry has made. You know, because there was a man that was willing to tell things that nobody else would disclose. Many things that nobody else even knew. But because God took him out of that background, he could see and understand certain things that other people would have never have known. I would have never have known. Except that, you know, he was willing to show us. And I thank God how he takes our lives, you know, twisted and turned and, you know, wayward from God. It, oh my, begins to work on our hearts so that we can become those new creatures in Christ. But I tell you, it continues here in Colossians, this third chapter, and those things that are of the world, it says, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. That day of his wrath is forthcoming. You know, he's going to come one of these days. He's going to come and not tarry. We don't know the day or the hour. We're not going to say, but we can see the signs. Oh, yes, we see how they boldly talk about their new world, how the nations gather together to talk about the problems and, you know, the considerations that they think are important, you know, the environment and everything else that, you know, is on their agenda. I'll tell you what, their agenda isn't very pretty. Oh, yes, they have, you know, 2030 as one of their target dates. And, you know, they're talking about a world that is completely under their control. And they're talking about a world I don't want to be in. But I know one thing, our God is going to come. He's going to come. And their plans are going to be altered. They're going to, you know, they're going to find all at once there's one greater than they are. Even though they gather together against Him to fight against God, yet He is going to come, and this time He's coming in wrath. Oh yes, He came the first time in great love to save us from our sins. Oh yes, to take our place on that cross of Calvary. But you know, He's going to come this time to judge this world. That door is going to be shut so that there is going to be no more time. So it talks about the wrath of God that cometh on the children of disobedience. And again, you know, we're all back there. It tells us in verse 7, in the which you also walked some time when you lived in them. But praise the Lord, you know, we come to the Lord and give Him our lives. You know, we repent, are baptized in the name of Jesus, and He fills us with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And we can put off all those things. You know, there's no addiction too hard for our God. You know, I've seen people that were chain smokers that, you know, gave those cigarettes over to the Lord, that stomped on them, threw them down the toilet, and you know, resolved that they were never going to smoke another cigarette again. Praise the Lord. God took that away. Amen. There's deliverance in the Lord Jesus. And we were all past, you know, we all have those pasts and those things that we'd rather not even think of so often. We put those things off. And then as we begin to grow in Christ, we begin to realize that, yes, there's more, you know. As we become new creatures in Christ, and He begins to grow us, so to speak, so that we can come to that place of perfection or that place of maturity in Christ Jesus. It tells us in verse 8, but now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. Oh, praise the Lord. See, yes, there's going to be things that we're going to get rid of. You know, if you're really living for the Lord, there's going to be no more pleasure in sin. All those old ways are going to die within us. And we're not going to even want to live in that realm, in that world, in that realm anymore. But so as we grow in the Lord, you know, we're going to put off anger and wrath and malice, all these things that are listed here, you know, blasphemy, all those things that would weld up inside of us. We give those things over to the Lord Jesus, those filthy communications out of your mouth. You know, there's... boy, oh boy. People aren't too careful the way they talk these days, are they? No, you know, I know my very dear friend in Minnesota, Brother Timothy, you know, he was a taxi driver in Minnesota for several years, actually. And you know, he had to put up a sign in his taxi, you know, telling people that he was not going to allow any filthy talk in that taxi. He didn't want any swearing, any cursing, any taking the Lord's name in vain. And, you know, some people appreciated it and, you know, thanked him for the sign. But then there were those that, you know, mocked at it and Sometimes he even had to stop the taxi and say, I'm sorry, if you're going to talk that way, I'm not going to drive. I'm not going to drive you. But I'll tell you what, these days people aren't very guarded with their mouths, and they let so many things come out that, you know, have no place. And it's certainly in no place in somebody who wants to be a Christian, who's trying to serve the Lord. And again, this isn't to lie not one to another. We've put off the old man with his deeds. We've given it over to the Lord. That's what surrender means. It means giving it all over to the Lord so that he can take our lives, so that he can mold us and he can shape us and he can make us new creatures in Christ. And it says, and put on the new man. Oh, yes, that new creature in Christ, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Oh, praise the Lord. And that is something that we can't do of ourselves. It takes the Lord to make us new creatures. It takes his Spirit, oh yes, to change us so that we can be conformed to his dear image rather than our old mold. You know, the old person that we once were, you know, the person we were born as originally. But praise the Lord, there's a new birth that he gives us when we're born of the water and of the Spirit. Oh yes, when our life is given over to the Lord and we can be hid in Christ, that place where we rest in Jesus Christ, where he takes over our lives, our emotions, our will, our ways, to begin to change us. And I thank God, you know, this kingdom of God. And that's, you know, when Jesus came, that's what he was bringing forth. He was bringing forth a new kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. That's what he was talking about. He was revolutionary. You know, you read his Sermon on the Mount there, 5th and 6th chapters of Matthew, and you realize, hey, this is, you know, he's turning things upside down. But that's because, yes, he was ushering in the new covenant. He was bringing in that new way of life, a life where we would live by the letter of the law, but the law would be in us so that we would hear the voice of Jesus Christ as he would come to dwell in us, as he gives us of his Spirit, of the Holy Ghost, so that we could hear that voice say, this is a way, walk ye in it. When you go to the right hand and when you go to the left, this is the way, walk in it. And he prods us and he talks to us. There's times he chastises us. You know, we go a little astray and we need to get back on the path, don't we? Praise the Lord, and I thank God. He's long-suffering, he's patient, he's kind, and he knows how to help us if we only will listen. Praise the Lord. But the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is not just for one race of people. It's not for, you know, just either a male or a female, or, you know, it tells us here in verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Praise the Lord. You know, he becomes our whole life as we give it over to him. So the kingdom of God, it isn't, you know, it doesn't pertain. You know, the first covenant pertained to the Hebrew people that God had called to bring forth as his own peculiar treasure, his own nation, and hoping that they would follow his ways, listen to him. But the new covenant is made of all. It's the door of salvation has been opened to all that will listen, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And praise the Lord, he didn't stop there with the Jew. You know, they were initially called on the day of Pentecost, but the door of salvation was opened to the Samaritans. You see that in the 8th chapter of Acts. In the 10th chapter of Acts, you see that the door of salvation is opened up to the Gentile people. And Paul began to gather them from, as he began his missionary travels. And oh, I thank God, because, you know, this gospel message isn't restricted, but it's whosoever will, let him come and drink of the waters of life freely. Whosoever will, the Lord puts it in our heart. So the kingdom of God doesn't consist of one race of people. And it explains again, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free. Oh my, but Christ is all and in all. We don't have to be a certain occupation or, you know, do certain things. It doesn't matter if we're bond or free. And I thank God, you know, this ministry, you know, we deal with inmates. My dear little daughter, Anna here, she works largely with inmate ministry, part of our ministry here. And you know, there's some people out there that, you know, are hungry for God. And I thank God that God reaches out to people, even in those institutions, who desperately will turn their lives over to God, who see their desperate need of a true Savior. And so then, as our life is hidden in Christ, it says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. See how he begins to change us? We put off those other attributes that are not godly at all. And we begin to show that other side, the nature that is in Jesus Christ. It says, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. It says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And it says in verse 14, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. Oh, praise the Lord. He's called us together as one body. Oh, yes. And we can all be part of the family of God, his sons and his daughters. And so it tells us in verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. You see, everything begins to change. Our goals, our priorities, the things that we once loved, we begin to see the richness that is in God's Word, the wisdom that is in God's Word. And it tells us to teach and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You know, I love those wonderful old hymns that we sing here. I've said this many times, but so many of those hymns in our hymnal actually are a sermon in themselves. And, you know, and you begin to sing them with all your heart. You know, and you sense that person who wrote those songs, you had a walk with the Lord, you know, and there was, you know, something in them, you know, that was deep. And that's how we can teach and admonish one another in the Word of God, through psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You know, I tell you what, yeah, what is there of more value than the things that are of God? The music that comes from him, the anointed music that he gives to us, those words, those songs, those melodies, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. And then it tells us in the 17th verse, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. It explains in verse 18, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God." See, everything becomes different. We become a light unto this world. The world is full of darkness, but, you know, Jesus told us not to hide our light, but rather to let it shine, to put that light on a candlestick, not to hide it under a bushel. Oh no, we are a living testimony in this world. We've got something to share. We've got something to give. He saved us so that we might be a light, that we might tell others, that that testimony that He gave us might grow. And even the way we respond, the manner in which, you know, if we have a job, if we're employed, you know, our attitude also tells a story. It talks about servants here obeying in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. It means even those things to do with your heart. Fearing God. And of course, I mean, I understand if they tell you to do something that's in opposition to God's word, well, there's a point we have to draw the line. But otherwise, it tells us, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto man. Yes, you know, all these little things, even the simplest of things, if we could do it unto the Lord and not unto man, what a difference it can make. In fact, you know, the Lord is expecting that our whole life would be a life of giving, of sharing, of telling. You know, all those things, the things that we have done for another, we have done it unto Christ. As it tells us in the 25th chapter of Matthew, you know, if you know, we visited somebody who is sick, we did it or do it unto Jesus. We do it unto God. You know, we visit that person in prison, we do it unto God. All these things we share, you know, water, a drink or something with somebody who needs a drink, a water, we do it unto God. A meal, whatever, all. We do it heartily unto God and not unto man. And it explains, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Oh, you know, when we stand before God, oh, how we want to be hid in Christ at that moment. How we want to have that garment of His righteousness on. How we want to hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of my Lord." And you know, He's not going to say it if it's not true. He makes it very clear here as this chapter is ending that if we have done wrong, that we're going to receive for the wrong which we have done. And that there is no respect of persons. God isn't going to look at us because, you know, we have a certain color of skin, or, you know, a certain color of eyes, or certain occupation, or whatever all. That's not how He's going to decipher how we stand with Him. It's whether our hearts have been given over to the Lord. It's, have we really served God? You know, it talks about doing these things with singleness of heart. That means without other objectives. You know, you know, with all our being, you know, not with other motives, but to do it unto God, not just to please man, not just to, you know, to make some kind of impression before them, but, you know, we do it unto God, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord. You serve the Lord Jesus. You serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect of persons. Oh, I tell you what. Just going to mean everything when we stand before God. To hear him say, well done. And I'm so thankful that we can seek the Lord now while he may be found. That we can call upon him while he is near. As it tells us in that 55th chapter of Isaiah. It says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And that's the nature of our Savior. You know, he has abundant mercy. He died that we might have life. And that we might have it more abundantly. That means to the fullest. You know, if you're serving yourself, if you're living in sin, there's just a limit to that extent of that kind of existence. You know, it's the things that we do beyond that, the things that we do for others, the things that we do for the cause of Christ that make the difference in our lives. Oh, yes, that's what's going to matter when we stand before Jesus. What have we done for him? What do we have to give to him? What kind of fruit do we have to show him? Fruit in our lives. But I praise the Lord. He has made a way that our lives could be hid in Christ. That we could be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Oh, he is going to come and not tarry. It's going to be over one of these moments. That door of opportunity is going to be closed. But praise the Lord, he's given us space to repent. This moment, he's given us this opportunity to give our lives to him. And I do marvel there, that second chapter of Revelation where, you know, he talks about space to repent. You know, it was to that woman, particularly Jezebel, that he was, you know, referencing there in that scripture. Somebody as wicked as she was. Yet, you know, the Lord gave her opportunity to get right. And we could do that. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, there's none like our Savior. And thank God, as that other song we sang tonight, there's room at the cross, you know. He's made a way for whosoever will, let him come and drink of the waters of life freely. Whosoever will, that door of opportunity is open, that door of salvation. Oh, he's going to come one of these days. It's going to be over. We see all these signs. Oh, yes, all around us. And oh, we know, oh, that there are so many things going on at this moment. Oh, yes, where they're headed toward a one world. Best they can. Yes, the mark of the beast and everything else. Oh, we've seen a whole lot of things this last year. Even, oh, yes, when people were chipped. Little city in this state of Wisconsin. River Falls. And I'll tell you what, that's just the beginning. But here we are. There may be multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. But praise the Lord, we've got opportunity to come to Christ, to surrender our hearts, our minds, our wills, our emotions to the Lord Jesus, and knowing that He will have mercy, He will abundantly pardon. For He says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Oh, yes, we serve a mighty God. And oh, He knows the end from the beginning. And how wise it would be to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that we might be exalted in due time. Yes, that we might all be forgiven of our sins, of our transgressions. Oh, yes, those things that we did that were so wrong in the sight of God. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to turn this service back over to Samuel and ask him to lead us in a song. And I know that this church will be opened unto prayer after that. And I just pray that as we have opportunity, we'll all get to that place where all is made right in the eyes of God. Praise the Lord, knowing that He is here to hide us. Oh, yes, that our lives can be hid in Christ, that we can be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Praise the Lord, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to open our melodies of praise hymnals one more time, and we are going to turn to number 241 and sing "Whosoever Will," number 241. Heareth, shout the sound, spread the blessed tidings all the world around. Tell the joyful news wherever man is found, whosoever will may come. Whosoever will, whosoever will, send the proclamation over vale and hill. 'Tis a loving Father calls the wanderer home, whosoever will may come. Whosoever cometh need not delay, now the door is open, enter while you may. Jesus is the truth, the only living way, whosoever will may come. Whosoever will, whosoever will, send the proclamation over vale and hill. 'Tis a loving Father calls the wanderer home, whosoever will may come. Whosoever will, the promise is secure, whosoever will, forever must endure. Whosoever will, 'tis life forevermore, whosoever will may come. Whosoever will, whosoever will, send the proclamation over vale and hill. 'Tis a loving Father calls the wanderer home, whosoever will may come. whosoever will, send a proclamation over valley and hill. This loving Father calls to wander home, whosoever will may come. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And you are dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Thank you.